recruiting is preparation for retention. I think that's super important. I think it's really top of mind that we should focus on that, because a lot of people think that, oh, recruiting is just like the top of funnel. It's just getting people in the door. But the experience that people have during the recruitment process, it definitely, data has supported that it flows into the retention of that individual throughout their life cycle.
Don't conduct your analysis in isolation, because data is so incredibly powerful.
Not defending just the tribe, but defending the organization.
Those creative people that you really want to keep empowered, keep excited, keep motivated, keep thinking.
A good experience pays dividends down the line.
Stereotypes tend to break down in proximity.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast about human resources, business, technology, and the workplace. My name is Ben Eubanks, your host, and I'm so glad you're here.
Hey there, it's Ben Eubanks. I'm really glad you're here with us today on We're Only Human. Every single time we have some of our new data release, a new research that comes out, we actually do a live stream research release to share that out. And coming up at the beginning of April, April 3rd, we're going to have our next live stream release focused on our new talent acquisition research. So in celebration, in honor of that, I'm actually replaying an episode from a previous live stream conversation, a panel discussion between Lisa Brignall of Coca-Cola. I have Camille Tate from Strava, and then we have Travis Swindling from RBC. They're going to talk about some of the strategies, some of their priorities, the different ways that they're approaching the market, the things that they care most about this year when it comes to talent acquisition. And so in honor of that, I'm going to share that out. And I'll make sure and put into the show notes, into the comments, the link for you to go and check out and sign up for that event. The short link for that is lhra.io/24TA. That's lhra.io/24TA to sign up for free for the upcoming live stream, see some of our research, hear conversations just like the one that you're about to, and also get encouraged and engaged with a community who is pumped up about the future of what recruiting and talent acquisition holds. So excited for that. Now, without any further ado, let's dive into this fun conversation with the team.
Hey, everyone. I'm so glad you're here with us and looking forward to learning from these amazing speakers, sharing some good ideas, all that kind of good stuff. We're going to have some energy going here. So I've got this amazing panel along with me. I have Lisa Brignall from Coca-Cola Euro-Pacific. I have Camille Tate from Strava. I need to get one of those awesome like neon looking backgrounds. Camille, love that. And then Travis Swindling, he is at RBC. And we're going to be talking about some of the big picture things that they and their teams are focusing on for the coming year. Some of the things they're excited about, some things that they've accomplished. Well, I'm hoping this is going to give you some ideas, really set the stage for the rest of this event so you can have some big things percolating in the back of your mind, some big ideas, and to hear from some other leaders just like you who are in the trenches, who are trying to solve these big problems that we're all facing right now when it comes to hiring and bringing on the very best talent. So with that kind of groundwork set, I'm going to go ahead and let everybody do a quick intro for yourself before we dive into some of the conversation and the questions for the day. So Camille, would you be willing to go first? A quick intro for yourself, and we'll pass that ball over to Lisa.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Ben, amongst some great people. I'm excited to be here. My name is Camille Tate. My pronouns are she, her. I work for Strava, if you can't tell. I've been with Strava for almost 3 years. I'm the head of talent there. I've been in TA for about 18 years, mostly in tech. And excited to talk about 2024 trends and what we're excited about. So thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Lisa, how about you?
Hi, everyone. And thanks, Ben, for inviting me. As you can probably tell from my accent, I'm actually based in GB. So I head up the talent acquisition function for Coca-Cola Euro-Pacific Partners, a leading FMCG organization. And I head that up for GB. Really excited to be here to talk about some of the trends and some of the things we're excited about going forward.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you, Lisa. Travis, you my friend.
Awesome. Hi, I'm Travis Swindling. I'm currently at RBC as the head of global head of TA strategy, analytics, and a bunch of other things as well. Basically, anything that's not TA delivery is my wheelhouse. Spent my career in kind of financial services and tech and manufacturing across the board. Started on TA operational side, leading sourcing, and then moved into people analytics for about eight or nine years, and then I'm back in TA again. So looking forward to bringing the data function front and center, because TA is probably the easiest place to do that.
All right. Awesome. I'm excited. You know me, I'm a sucker for some good data. So any chance I have to get to tap into that kind of thing, I always appreciate that chance. And that may or may not be the only reason I ask you here, Travis. I won't tell you for sure. All right. So let's just to get this ball rolling and get things run through here. Let's start casting a big vision for the audience here, what we're thinking about. So I'd love, Travis, I'd let you start with this if you don't mind. But things that you're looking forward to in 2024 from a TA perspective specifically, what sort of things are top of mind, things that you're excited about, anything that's in your windshield that you're looking forward to?
Sure. So for us, it's really been interesting. So RBC started our journey with Workday about 18 months ago. We did the HCM system as well as the TA module at the same time. Wouldn't recommend. Probably parse those out in the future. But in terms of what that looks like, one of the things that I think I'm really looking forward to is looking at the TA process in a bit of a two-factor layer. So looking at system of experience versus system of record. So Workday is a great system of record, transactional system in terms of what it does, but it's lacking a little bit in some of those system of experience pieces. So that's where we're looking to look at our tech stack and put that system of experience, both from a hiring manager, candidate, recruiter experience, all on top of that, in terms of building that really contemporary TA tech stack. So that's a big piece of work that we're looking at in 2023, 2024. And then the other piece is really, from an external markets perspective, getting us back to how do we look at our internal workforce and start to do some more of that workforce planning, internal talent mobility, really understand how skills play into this and how we can start to look at kind of that external data to inform what we can do with our internal data. As we all know, kind of those black swan events are hitting us fast and furious these days. So really looking to take a step back and understand our internal talent and how kind of skills can ladder up into work and where we can go from there.
All right. Excellent. Awesome. Wonderful. And nobody, I think, was surprised to hear you say data like seven times in that little segment there. But I think that's important for us. And TA has so much data often on hand, but we're not always sure how to use it, how to make sense of it, how to parse that out into something that actually is usable and actionable from a daily perspective. And so I get excited about that piece of it. Okay, awesome. Lisa, how about you? What are you and your team looking forward to in the coming year, things that you're excited about and planning for?
Yeah, great question. And listening to Travis, not too dissimilar from what you're thinking about, Travis. So I'm a big advocate here of diverse hiring. So I'm putting that out there because I'll probably cover that off quite a bit. So I think some of the things that equally have been proud of and things that we'll do in the future in 2024 is continue to look for ways in which we can engage with people who perhaps wouldn't ordinarily think about working for us through diverse and inclusive hiring and through how we market ourselves and brand ourselves. It's important for us for obvious reasons of it being the right thing to do, but also from a business perspective as well. And actually, over the last couple of years, with the markets being as it has been, it really has given us an advantage to support our talent pipeline and to obviously accelerate what the talent that we have in the future that can really help us perform as a business as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a biggie for me. And that covers everything. So at the moment, big factors for us are how do we get more women in manufacturing in the organization? Because it's not just a Coca-Cola Pacific Partners issue, it's an industry issue. How do we partner across the industry to actually really support, promote careers in manufacturing? So that's a biggie for me at the moment. Is making those data-led decisions, because I think for me and my team, we've really been looking at how we can create certainty wherever possible out of a very uncertain market. And a lot of the ways that we do that is being far more data-led and insights-led and driven. And also by controlling the narrative of the story of TA with our leaders. So actually not assuming that people understand what the talent acquisition and labour marketplace is, but actually creating that understanding by storytelling around it and making it everybody's business.
Excellent. Excellent. I like that a lot. Wonderful. I'll have to come back to you on the women in manufacturing piece in a minute, because I know that y'all are doing some creative things you and I have talked about in the past in the hiring side that's most companies probably never thought of. And I think I would imagine that probably helps there, but I'd love to get your take on that. So in just a
Definitely.
Bit. All right. Camille, how about you? Things that you're looking forward to, things that you're excited about in the coming year, what's on your radar from a TA perspective?
So many things. I'm excited about 2024. Every year, I'm always thinking about how we go back to the basics, though, of recruiting, because recruiting is a relationship business. It's not about cherry picking different people from different companies or different communities. It's about building relationships and kind of what we try to do on our app, Strava. We're trying to be the center of connected fitness. We have over 100 million athletes on the app. And so the same that we're trying to build community in terms of our app is the same thing that we try to do internally and how that translates. So tapping into how can we partner with organizations? How can we invest in organizations and partnerships for underrepresented groups? I think it's important that organizations, you know, put your money and your handshake where your mouth is, making sure that you're tapping into those relationships and having like events. I love having events from a recruitment standpoint. I'm glad the earth is continuing to open up somewhat and we're able to be in person. We had an event this year with Latinas in Tech, hopefully to do more things like that in our office and beyond. So that's one thing. Also, just making sure that we build training and avenues for our teams and our hiring managers to know that recruiting is preparation for retention. I think that's super important. I think it's really top of mind that we should focus on that, because a lot of people think that, oh, recruiting is just like the top of funnel. It's just getting people in the door. But the experience that people have during the recruitment process, it definitely data has supported that it flows into the retention of that individual throughout their life cycle. So definitely focusing on making sure that we're on the same page with hiring managers and making sure that we're prepared from a talent management standpoint. We know what we're hiring for. We know what the business objectives are. We're correlating that with competencies and making sure also candidate experience is always going to be top of mind for me every year, making sure that people have a good experience with Strava, whether or not they get a job with us, they still think about Strava and how we made them feel.
Goodness, that goes back to that community piece you mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. Making them feel like they're part of a community, not just part of this transactional sort of assembly line. We're pushing them down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Excellent. When you said that a minute ago, Travis was like doing the head bob. Like, oh, yeah. Travis, there's something that came to mind for you when she talked about that? Because I know you mentioned like internal hiring, some other things there. I know that ties in really well with retention as well.
Yeah, honestly, retention is the easiest quality of hire metric out there. Like in terms of really measuring your impact from a recruitment perspective, like that's bar none, the easiest one to kind of get your hands on. And I think that's where everyone needs to start. There's some really cool stuff that you can do around O&A and things like that for timed integration and all those other things. But if you want to start simple, it all goes back to that retention piece, as Camille was saying, which is absolutely huge.
Excellent. You mentioned, Travis, a minute ago that you were looking at things like internal hiring, and 2 out of 3 workers have told us that they've quit a job at some point because they didn't have a step in front of them. They didn't feel like there was anything to advance. But 9 out of 10 of those people said, I would have taken that step if I could have just seen it, essentially. And so would you talk for a second about the internal hiring piece, whether it's how you're thinking about that now or maybe gaps you've seen at other companies in the past? Anything that might be helpful or practical to people listening in?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, for me, the internal mobility piece actually starts with external market data. So it's being able to correlate kind of your internal job catalog to the external market in terms of this person goes into these jobs next. These are the skills that you need to do those jobs. And then just democratizing that data to employees to say your engineer 1 goes to an engineer 2. These are the skills that are different. This is how long it takes to get them. This is how much it costs. And there's a lot of technologies out there that will actually help you map that now to say, this is exactly what that kind of career path looks like. So you see some vendors in the market space that have made that their thing. But even from an AP perspective, there's a lot that you can do yourself just with that kind of skill adjacency type approach in the market.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for touching on that for a second, because that's something I always get a little bit or a lot excited about. And I think that's important for people to hear because it ties to some of the other things like Lisa even commented on a minute ago. Lisa, you talked about we've got to help our leaders really understand what's happening outside the business, not just seeing, are we filling these jobs, yes or no, but listen, the world out there is different. And maybe the talent is more scarce than it was before, or maybe we're trying to solve this problem of getting more women in manufacturing, but guess what? There just aren't that many to go around. So we're all stealing from each other. How do we develop a new class or a new crop of those individuals to be developed and ready to take those sorts of roles? One of the things that you talked about, Lisa, that you and I have had this conversation before about some of the things that y'all do in the hiring process to really help candidates ask questions and experience what it's like to work there by talking to some of the employees. Would you talk about that piece just a little bit here? Because I would imagine most of the audience has not heard our interview on that in the past. I'd love for you to just touch on that a little bit, because I think it really helps to tie some of these other things together that we're talking about so far.
Yeah, and I probably didn't touch upon it in terms of always looking forward. We're looking at how we brand ourselves and be very authentic about that branding, because if, let's face it, we're not after every single candidate applying for us. We're after the candidates that will thrive with the organization and can match their values and skills to our organization. So one of the things that we do really well, I think, is A, tell very authentic stories via our employees for our branding. So I think that's very much emotionally connecting with the audience. But also, we do have an option for any candidate to speak to one of our employees at any time, usually through chat, ask any questions they like. It could be questions, for example, about how many calls they might do in a field sales call. And it could be questions around the values of the organization, the policies on well-being, on all of the things that matter to different candidates and are very important for them to know when they're going to a new employer. And we call that our Insiders program. And we've got 20 really passionate advocates of our brand who work with us on that as employees across all different functions. So we do represent every single part of our organization and provide just some very authentic, personalized storytelling about what it feels like to work for the organization. And we like them to be very honest about that as well, because we know we're not perfect all of the time.
Yeah, I love that. What I love about that is you're not just saying we hold all the keys, all the power, all the content, but we trust our people. They're going to tell the truth. They'll say, hey, some days are hard, but here's the long term. Like, I've worked here for this period of time because of this. Here's how it makes me feel. And right, Camille, that types in that community piece you were talking about a minute ago so well, because it creates this community where people are not afraid to share. The company's not afraid to give them a little bit of direction and then let them run with that. So there's some really good things in there that bring that all together and help us to tell our stories, to appeal to the candidates out there. And I think it helps overall. Camille, I'd love to get your take on this, because you talked about like Latinas in tech and things like that. But to have someone that looks like me, sounds like me, that's already working there or who's had experience with the company, that seems like it would be more comforting or encouraging to them to say there's less risk for me to be the standout person here and more likely to feel like there's a real community around me. Camille, what's your take on that? Is that, I think that's fair, true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get comments all the time from, and my team does as well. And even some of my peers and colleagues, we get messages all the time. Oh, I saw my panel for my interview today. It brings a sense of comfort, because let's be honest, there are a lot of companies, organizations that are not particularly safe spaces for people from underrepresented groups. And me having that experience in my previous work history, I understand that. And people are already, and this is what I tell hiring managers all the time, people are already so nervous in interviews. Like, it's really like feeling like someone has your future in their hands, right? And so they're already so nervous. How cool would it be, or how comforting would it be to already break down those barriers ahead of time? And to be honest, curious as to why I don't see more diverse talent teams, because it only, if companies are saying, hey, our top of mind is DEI and this and that, but their whole team looks the same, is, are you really? And so that's really important to me when I came into Strava. And I think it's also important when you're trying to recruit and you're saying that you have a focus on any aspect of diversity, equity, inclusion, to ensure that you're creating the foundation and the groundwork for people to come into your organization. And maybe they don't get hired, but they felt like they had a good experience through the interview process, because they were able to speak to people that could relate to them. And so I think it's really important that we focus on that, because it transcends so many different avenues and pathways in TA and our connection with community and candidates.
Excellent. All right. You've talked a couple of times about the empowering the hiring managers piece, and I want you to think on that a little bit, because I'm going to come back to you in a second for like practical takeaways and stuff. And if there's anything there you want to share or something else, I would love for you to bring that. But I think that's one of the things I hear consistently when I'm talking to TA leaders is, like, we can have well-developed TA teams, we can hire the best people for our, right? But we're also dependent on our partners across the aisle who are making these hiring decisions. So I'll come back to you in a second on that one. All right. So our time is going so fast. I had planned to ask several more questions and we're going to be like, glue it on that. So Travis, I want to come back to you. People listening in right now, you've talked about data and some other things so far. I'd love for you to share any practical advice, any practical tips, suggestions for people listening in. Maybe someone is already has that bent like you and I do towards the data. They think, how can I use this to serve the organization better, to serve our candidates better, right? Serve our recruiting teams better. So they may already lean in that way, but anything else you'd like to share on the data side or something else that might be practical?
Yeah, so a couple of things. And I think Camille hit the nail on the head in terms of that community piece and people like me. So that's actually one of the things that we're looking at in our diversity strategy right now as well, is making sure that we're aligning not necessarily to the business line or the job type or anything like that, but actually the community group that you're trying to entice people to come from. That's where your kind of strategic lead needs to come from. It has to be people like them. So that's super important to us going forward. From a data perspective, I think I'll offer two pieces of advice, one from a more of a futurist perspective and then one from a really get your hands dirty. So the get your hands dirty is really look at your cycle times and don't look at just time to fill, but look at time to find, time to attract, time to source. Break it down across your entire value chain, because that's what's really going to get you started in terms of where you have a problem. So really understanding kind of the nuances between your different steps in your recruitment and build reporting around exactly what that looks like, because that's how your leaders are going to be able to coach and your team is going to get stronger because of that. So that would be your get your hands dirty kind of piece. The other piece from more of a futurist perspective is look at science, like behavioral sciences, IO psychology. We have years of experience with how human behavior actually works that corporations do not use. And I think one of the things that I would say is it's going to get even more important as we go more down that hard skills side of things, because you look at kind of skill coverage and things like that, you're going to keep hiring the same people because those people have had the same experiences and the same opportunities across their lifespan. But if you start to take a step back and you look at from a job analysis perspective, what's important to my job in terms of what behaviors, like you look at contact center, it's really that empathy place, especially in claims and things like that. You can train on all the systems, you can train on all the techniques, you can train on all of those things. But even to Lisa's point around women in manufacturing, figure out what is important to those manufacturing jobs from a behavioral perspective and hire people that are predisposed to have those types of behaviors and train on the rest. So I think that from a futurist perspective is going to be the absolute most important, because as you look at generative AI and the impact of ChatGPT and things like that, candidates are going to get to the point where it's, here's my resume, here's the job description, write me an application. Oh, look, it's 100% keyword match. Sorry about your luck, recruiter. You now have to go through everything. So get ahead of that trend.
I saw some data recently that says 70% of college graduates are using ChatGPT for that exact purpose, Travis. So it's getting harder for recruiters, not easier, especially if that's entry-level stage or that recent grad stage, to separate out the candidates, because they're all starting to look the same because they're using those tools to try to match up there. All right, Lisa, I'm going to come to you next. Practical ideas, strategies, solutions, encouragements for the people listening in here, things that they can be thinking about to level up their TA function in the coming year.
Yeah, I'm just actually going to build actually on Travis's last comments around skills-based assessments, because I think that's probably something that is very much talked about in TA communities and wider as well. So exactly to your point, Travis, on the women in manufacturing problem that I mentioned earlier, or not problem, actually.
Opportunity. Yes.
Opportunity. We've done that exactly that. So we've used data to very much make sure that people are aware that the talent that we're trying to attract just isn't out there. And actually, if we want to attract that type of talent, we do need to look at the problem slightly differently. Differences in mindset, differences in our expectations of skills, what's trainable. So one really practical example that we're doing, certainly at CCEP, is looking at hiring for potential across those roles that we can. So traditional qualifications or traditional experience that you would have required, we're throwing the rule book out on that and saying, actually, what is it that we require from people and what can we train in? And we're in the very lucky position of having some great learning development functionality and resources to do that. So we've been doing that across our sales teams for the last few years. And what that means is we don't ask for qualifications. We're not interested in people having done a sales job before. What we're interested in is the real soft skills that would mean that they could really thrive in that job. And they would enjoy that job, quite frankly, as well. It's not everybody's cup of tea, that job. And also we're doing the same thing across our manufacturing sites as well. So actually saying, do we actually need people who've got this technical skill set, or can we actually train that in? And actually, are we looking for people with teamwork skills who are able to multitask, who like to learn, who are curious, all of those things that we need in that job for people to thrive. So again, just putting some of what Travis is saying into some of the practice, it is working. We are diversifying our workforce. We've got some brilliant talent in through those methods. We've got high performing talent. We've got different skill sets and mindsets and experience and diversity of thought. And that's our future talent. So that's a really good entryway into that future talent that we need.
It would probably encourage you to hear that when we did our survey on candidates this year, global candidate data sets, over 1,000 people, we said, what is the number one way that an employer can show respect for you during the hiring process? And the number one way was they have to see me for my potential, not just for this bundle of skills that I have right now. Because so many of them are boiled down to either yes or no, you're above the bar, below the bar, just based on that skill set. A lot of companies don't take the time, don't put the effort in, because it is difficult to do. Don't put the effort in to figure out what that potential is, because once you do that, you see the candidate in an entirely different light, typically.
You do. You're not looking at job titles. You're looking at those very specific skill sets that might indicate success in the future, and making sure that all of your assessment processes, that whole candidate experience is geared towards that. So using strengths-based interview questions, identifying trainability, as opposed to someone being able to actually execute a task right there and then, all made harder, but I certainly would encourage people to start thinking outside the box on that if they're not already, because it does widen your net and it's really supports that diverse hiring as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate that. All right, Camille, any ideas, any practical strategy solutions? Like, you're like high-fiving. I can see when Travis and are sharing. So you're like, yes, but what do you
have? I'm also taking notes.
Me too, my friend.
I think it's speaking to using data to drive decisions or make decisions. Also, really, that partnership. I think that will be a big focus for us. We were able, since we slowed down hiring, we were able to do some trainings, some bias in the interview process training, some hiring manager experience to get people set up for success. I think the past couple of years, we hired so much. And when you hire a lot of folks into an organization and double the size of the organization, you have people interviewing from their frame of reference. And I used to do it over here at this company. I used to do this. No, we're at Strava now. We have a baseline of how we want to interview our candidates. No, hey, candidate, what are your strengths and weaknesses? No low hanging fruit like that as far as those type of interview questions. Really quality interview questions based on competency and what's relevant to the job. And then how do you write feedback? How do you write objective, clear feedback? Not on questions you thought about asking the candidate, but questions you actually did ask the candidate. So a lot of things that we want to work on, they may sound basic, but they contribute greatly to the process for a candidate and also for the internal hiring teams that's trying to make a decision, right? Do you have the right information? Did you prepare your questions ahead of time? Did you have a prep session with all of your interview panel to discuss what are the outcomes that we all agree that what we're looking for this role and how they're going to interact with cross-functional teams? All of those things are really, really important. I think sometimes if you get busy with other things, you take your eyes off the prize in terms of consistency and things like this. I think practicing consistency is something to really be focused on in terms of having a smooth engine running for a TA in 2024. Because TA, we work with audibles, right? Things are going to change next year. We have our sights set on all these things for 2024. We have no idea what it's going to bring. So just the allowing yourself to be flexible, that's something to have on your top priority for 2024, is to be flexible and open to what the year is going to bring, and also be able to prepare your team to have the agility to adjust.
Oh, Wonderful. I love this range of things. I wish we could do this for another hour because I've got, again, taking notes over here, some great takeaways, everything else. But I realize that all of us have real work to do today, probably as well, in addition to this. So thank you to Travis, to Lisa, to Camille for your ideas, your suggestions, your encouragement to the people listening in here, to all of you out there listening right now. I'm going to make sure and tag all three of them. So reach right over here for LinkedIn and you can connect right with them. I know they'll appreciate that. And thank you to all of you for hanging out with us.
I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Got some good notes and ideas from the conversation between Travis, Camille, and Lisa. And I hope that you are excited about the upcoming live stream we'll be having on April 3rd. Hope to see you there.
Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm honored to have you as a listener. If you enjoyed this episode, please take 10 seconds to rate it at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Also, if you know a friend that could benefit from today's conversation, please pass it their way. After all, a rising tide lifts all ships. To see show notes, sponsor information, and our full show archives, visit onlyhumanshow.com.